Well, threw you a curveball with the...
Yeah, they undisclosed all that one.
Yeah, the binder filler wrapper. That's the one that's like, hush, hush. We don't tell what it is.
Ah, I see. I'm definitely, you know, dead last to step in to understand, you know, their marketing prowess. Well, and, you know, I thought that this, you know, this last stick was, I don't know, it just seemed to kind of step out of the product line. It was just one of those things where, which one of these things is not like the other,
sure,
or it's just not.
Yeah.
Even when I was having it, I was like, is this really a DR stick? Because it sure doesn't feel like it.
But, and I think some context to it, too, is that that truly was a one-off limited that they did. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, for me, like, even with Caldwell, they have, like, their core line staples. But they're known to put out certain limiteds or certain things that are curveballs or and even, like, even Lost and Found. So I know you kind of touched upon that for a second, which I think they're changing the way they do this because they've said all that's lost is now found. But they had a really cool program for many years where basically they would go around to different factories. And in these factories, you have, the way it works is, you know, if you have a cigar that you're going to put to production, you know, they'll make 2,000 sticks or whatever, and then something will happen and the whole thing will get scrapped. And so some of these factories just have, you know, tons of tobacco
just sitting.
And so Lost and Found, they basically buy this stuff from people not knowing what it is, essentially brand it, throw it on there. Yeah. And that was a lot of their, where they were talking about a lot of where their proceeds go to things. But you know, I had some cigars in that batch that were 8 years old, and I know that they were probably bought from the Davidoff factory. And I mean, some cool stuff, you know. And
I like the Lost and Found series. I thought those are really good. I don't know if you guys have smoked any of those before.
No.
But they're really streamlined, decorated boxes. Nothing major, flashy. It's just kind of just chill. And they're really great cigars.
Hmm.
So we're going to... Yeah, you guys want to talk about the mofo?
Maybe after the break.
Yeah, maybe we got a break coming up here.
Yeah. And, you know, in a more extended conversation, you know, about Caldwell.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, we'll have plenty of time to, you know, talk about, you know, I think just our experience with the whole product line.
Yeah, it was a good product line, but... Here's a word from the sponsor.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as the willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
And we're back. We're going to talk a little bit more about Caldwell Cigars. They sent us a fifth in the line, and it's called the Mofo.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we all had a pretty good experience with that. So, Mike, why don't you tell us what your thoughts were?
Because I already did. Well, you know, so this was it's interesting that I just happened to smoke it in the last line, you know.
Yeah.
So, and that was just by happenstance. So, it was the very last cigar that I did smoke in the product line. And so I'll reiterate my notes on this. So really big flavor. And like I mentioned, the San Andreas wrapper was definitely the star of the stick for sure. It was one of those things where sometimes you're sitting down with a cigar and you're, it's very complex, but it's not full. And I think the difference between those things for me is usually it's the amount of sugar content or how sweet something comes across, because sugars really hang very heavy on the palate and they tend to, you know, influence and feel heavier, you know. This didn't have that. It wasn't a sweet thing. It just had a lot of complex flavor around it, and I enjoy that, you know, in a lot of things. I enjoy it in wines. I enjoy it in, you know, spirits and whiskeys and gin and a lot of other things where things are so complex that you just can't sit down and go, well, that's cedar, or that is, you know, hickory, or, you know, I'm getting a touch of mint or something like that. And so I really, I found myself smoking the entire stick. And I was actually rushed for time.
You don't say.
Yes, I was. And so I actually was really glad that that was the last stick that I had sitting down in that flight to go through, and actually enjoyed the entire thing. So it just was really great construction, great burn line the whole time. I found myself, you know, setting it down, you know, having a casual drink of, you know, one or two things, you know, thinking about pairing opportunities with it.
Yeah.
There was just a lot going on, you know, for that. And I was really glad, you know, to have that stick in the lineup.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Sure.
My dead favorite, you know, in the entire product line, for sure.
So that's the Long Live the King Mad Mofo.
Yep.
And when we get to
I love the smell on the foot on that one.
Oh, yeah. That has a great, great smell in it. Even unlit, just it's a spicy flavor smell. But that's a San Andreas wrapper and a Dominican and Nicaraguan filler. And it doesn't tell me what the binder is. So I would assume it's a Dominican binder.
Mystery binder.
Yeah, so why don't you, Justin, tell us what you thought about it.
I think this is like a really good lunch break stick. Had really consistent flavor. This stick never went out when I was smoking it. And I smoked it to the nub. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a 5x50, I think, is what we got. Is that right?
Sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a Lancero, which no. I was disappointed. I think in a Lancero, this thing would be awesome.
I agree. I found myself wanting, you know,
more.
Just like a little more.
Uh-huh.
I just smoked this for another 15 minutes. I'd be a lot better
off. My favorite size. They make it in a Bellicosa, and that's my favorite size.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Nate, what did you think about it?
I really enjoyed it. I found it's an Indonesian binder.
Oh, okay. It's good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I love this cigar. I get notes of... you know, like you said, big, bold flavors, but I also get kind of chocolatey richness with a spice. And to me, it's I love that cigar for an after dinner kind of just sitting
after
on the
anything.
Back porch. Yeah.
Dude, I would smoke that cigar every day. I think I could safely say that I could smoke that cigar every day.
Yeah.
I will be buying a box.
Yeah. So, I kind of hinted I was actually thinking about pairings, you know, as I was enjoying this particular cigar. And, you know, I find myself really moving between a lot of rich and decadent desserts, almost like a, you know, chocolate ganache or even a really dense, you know, New York style cheesecake.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, something that just would bring and almost coat, you know, your palate with, you know, those very heavy sugars that I mentioned were kind of absent, but in a good way in this experience. I like the idea of having it and after dinner, it'd be go really great, you know, with, you know, an XO cognac. I think it would really go great with a lot of Amaros.
Yeah.
Even, you know, really sweet Italian, like Fantastasia, you know, Amaro.
Yeah.
Would go really well, you know, with that. I would definitely say
a good chocolate cannoli.
Yeah.
I had this with a Cadbury Easter egg. And it worked really well.
Ooh, that was really good. The caramel. Yeah.
So
that's smart.
I guess the interesting theme about all these pairings is that I really think you need something that's kind of jumping on your palate, kind of weighting it down. Sugars tend to do that, you know, quite a bit. And, you know, I can see that that would be the thing that would really... It almost trap all that complexity and, you know, leave it lingering, you know, on your palate a lot longer.
Yeah. Well, that's going to bring us to our next question in this segment of what do we pair?
Well,
but we're going to give it our smokes rating first.
Yep.
So I think it's going to be unanimous. Yeah, it's unanimous. We'll give it a 3. Again, great job, Caldwell, on that cigar.
Yeah.
Great job.
You have our address. Feel free to send 5 boxes.
Yeah. However many you want to send us, just let me know, and we'll open the mail that day. All right. So my next question is, what did you guys pair with those? As we're continuing this discussion, You know, I'm all about the pairings. Mike, you touched really heavily on the pairings with the sweetness and the sugars, but like I could have that, you know, a lot of these Lanceros with a good cup of coffee or a good barrel proof bourbon or rye.
Yeah.
I think the rye notes really pair well with a lot of the
Yeah, I was going to say there is a cigar we didn't smoke in their original lineup called The King is Dead.
Yeah.
Which that cigar, to me, you get these strong kind of, when you have it with a rye, the caramely notes play together and you get this really like decadent thing.
I've
and
had
I
it.
Love that pairing together between the rye and that Habano.
Yeah. Yeah, The King is Dead was a really good cigar too. I've had quite a few of them. Justin, what do you like to pair with? What did you pair with this, other than Diet Coke?
Well, other I like the Highland Park Cask Strength.
Okay.
I had with a couple of these sticks.
Okay.
Good choice.
That's a good choice for Scotch drinkers. I am not one.
I'm a Scotch guy, you know.
I know. I'm not a Scotch guy. Although this Suntory stuff is really kicking it up a notch with me.
Yeah, I think it. I find, you know, a lot of Japanese whiskeys really just getting mowed down like roadkill, you know, with cigars. They're just... they're just so light and flowery and floral.
Man, I love
and
that.
Delicate. And I love that. I love Japanese whiskey. I just don't enjoy it with most cigars. I find they just get mowed down, you know, really fast.
Really?
So I think the opposite is true with enjoying, especially with, an Isla, you know, base scotch that, you get smoke on smoke, and you get peat fighting you know, directly with the cigar. With one exception, I think that there are both Connecticut and Connecticut Shade wrappers that I would, you know, go through and, you know, really enjoy, you know, that pairing. And the peat tends to complement it, you know, fairly well when you do things like that. But I think for the most part, you know, you are looking for complementary, flavor pairings and things that are not fighting, you know, with each other.
The caramel is massive. Like that sweetness and creaminess of the caramel, like you're talking about the Cadbury egg, that makes me want to
really
go buy one
right
now just to smoke with it. I'm not going to smoke a Cadbury egg, but, you know, to eat while I smoke a good cigar today, that's a great thing.
I'll confess, I was actually, you know, working two things at once as I was, you know, going through, you know, this product line. So I was probably tasting through about 50 different, you know, products, both whiskey and rum as I was going through these.
Rums would be delicious with this.
Yeah. So four I square. Always,
yeah,
I,
good four square.
I do say, you know, if I have to pick a default, you know, pairing for cigars in general, rum, I could have all day long. I just,
it's the next morning. It's
just
where it hurts.
So magical, you know, usually with most rums. And, you know, I mean, I know that most of you are thinking about, oh, you know, rums are super sweet and, you know, they're just going to, you know, obliterate the flavor or whatever you're having. Not true.
Yeah, not true at all.
Yeah. There's a lot of rums where, you know, actually you have to watch the cigar actually still overpowering, you know,
and especially what types of sugars they use in the rum too will play into that as well.
So I will tell you that last, when I had this last cigar, the Long Length, the King, a bad, mofo, one product that I had was, a bottle that actually is right here within our line of sight, which is from Nashville Barrel Company. That was from a pick called the Ever Cyber Team or Ever Sec. I think
see
it's
it
a
right
group.
There.
And that particular barrel was called "You Can't Have Cyber Without Spelling Rye." I think is the name of the barrel itself. Really great combination. So the reason why I thought that worked really well. That particular rye was on the scale of being more floral, and light, and it did not fight with the complexity that was going on with that particular cigar. One of the other pairings that I had with Long Live the Queen, which was one of the cigars that we talked about today. I remember having a, it was a bourbon, and oddly it was from Texas.
Like a Balcones or something?
No, it was, I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of the distillery okay. that I had it with. But I remember the characteristic that I had with it, and it was a fairly classic, you know, bourbon experience with a sweet finish that came off the back of it. And that really works, you know, quite well with that particular cigar.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to try all kinds of stuff with cigars too. I'm very out there. I'll go through, you know, three to five quarter ounce pours with a cigar and just try to see what really brings out flavor profiles. I land a lot with ryes, but also a good sweet bourbon it does really play a good favor into them.
And yet every time I sit with you, you go, Mike, have you had coffee, you know, with a cigar? So yeah. I keep listening.
Yeah.
One, I'm just one of these people. I just don't smoke in the morning. And there is no way you're going to convince me that you are going to ruin all of my coffee experience with cigar.
You are. You're going to have to have a cigar. Telling you. I'm telling
you. Well, so, and for me, I start every day that way.
Single origin coffees.
I work in the cigar world and I open a retail store. And so for me, I'll get there early and I'll have a cup of coffee and I have a cigar. And to me, there is no better pairing. I would choose that over liquor any day. But there's something about it first thing too, that to me, it's also filled with nostalgia too.
Yeah. But see, I also do a lot of eclectic coffees. So there's a coffee company called Bones Coffee. I get it online.
Yes.
And they do a lot of like flavored stuff. So I have like a dark chocolate flavored coffee. Yeah, I know. You say this.
Why don't you? I'm sorry.
They've got one.
I agree. Party.
Why don't you go to the grocery store and buy a can of flavored whipped cream?
Because I don't do that.
You know, make the. Just put it right on top of the cigar.
Got one and make my absolute favorite.
Complete.
And you could be mad all you want at it. It's called S'morey Time.
Oh, my God.
And it tastes just like s'mores.
It's just.
And with a cup of coffee, with that cup of coffee, with a good cigar, is great. But now, like, I love single origins, like, you know, Sumatras. I like all different types, Colombian coffees. Yeah.
So when you were first saying you like eclectic coffee, because in my head, because I really do nerd out about coffee, and I started thinking of all these like crazy weird stuff, and then Michael says like, I like caramel drizzle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh.
But see, like I drink my coffee black, so I don't put sweeteners. I don't put nothing in it.
I think it sucks.
You know, I don't put anything in my coffee. I drink all my coffees black.
So. I think part of the thing with coffee is that the flavor profiles for really great coffees are incredibly subtle.
Yeah, absolutely.
It does not take a whole lot, you know, of anything. So, I mean, even adulterating it with
flavor?
Definitely your caramel, whatever. But I mean, even putting milk into, you know, can really alter the flavor profile. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not even going to talk about sugars or flavorings, you know.
Now, I will say, though, if with the coffee aspect, if you retrohale your cigar, because I'm with you on that, where the notes are so subtle, and that's what I'm looking for is those notes. But if
nettles.
That's a new word. Trademark. That's a trademark word.
But for me, that retrohale, like that.
New word.
Where you push the smoke out your nose, you're getting it through that nasal scent. That right there is where so much of those same kind of notes live. And so to me, keeping the coffee on my tongue palate and then the smoke going through my nose palate is the perfect combo for me.
So let me ask you guys this.
Kenya double A with like a Maduro.
Oh, that's great.
Happy place.
There we go.
Yeah. I love Kenyan coffee.
Yeah.
And it's black. I like black Kenyan. Like,
I'll let you guys come over for a cupping.
Let's do a coffee.
I gotta mow through like 10 coffees this week.
Let's do it. You just let me know.
Well,
we're gonna take a quick break here in a second.
Well, let's talk. So I wanted to some final notes on the product line. Really great. I really hope you'll come back and, you know, take a look at Caldwell.
Absolutely.
I thought we really covered the product line, you know, quite well today. What did you think about the, you know, revisiting the whole product line?
I'm definitely into revisiting it all.
Yeah.
Definitely into revisiting all.
That's all, folks.
Oh, wow. Great stuff for today, guys. We're going to go ahead and wrap up the Smokes episode. I want to thank our co-host, good old boy Mike.
Thanks. I'm glad I'm here to cue our host.
Yeah, good old boy Justin.
Thank you so much for having me.
Good old boy Nate.
Yeah, thanks. It's good to be here.
And as always, guys, we love you and thankful that you guys join us.
Yeah, I look forward to your caramel macchiato that's going to be, you know, welded,
yeah,
you know, to one of these really great Caldwell sticks.
I'll go whip one up for you real quick and stick a cigar in it.
Stick it on Instagram. Yeah. You know, I want to see a picture
of
that.
I'll tweet it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little whipped cream.
Awesome. Well, you guys have a good day.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.
The state calls corrections between lock 17 and Tobin, where the bank and landlord stole my great granddaddy's days, where the Lord taught him to read scripture by the coal line. Joy Hartshorn reads between the Tobin soap key, her folks smiles. Elders call through death, then eat a song her mama's old biscuit pan. A boy murmurs in the mic, his briar patch saved her life. Like when his mama got strung out, his grandparents took him by his little shaking hands. On broken things to fix, but round up while I'm banned. Eyes are wide and stories sanctified, beaten down. Like the less I understand. Every morning I hit my knees and thank God my God's a working man. I thank God that he came down here to get to working man. Sun pierced my lids. Great granddaddy touched this water. The only time he left Alabama made me and granddaddy singing and waving from the shore. Old broken things to fix, but wound up while I'm banned. Thousands of wider stories sanctified, beaten down land. The longer I've been living, seems like the less I. Thank God. password meals for the spirit of the strike. It's all kills for the rustic war songs. Amistad blazed on the Ritz Theater marquee. Dark air, college kids, town elders. Blue light, flashing blades, broken chains. Sing pay calls to the ancestors. Some church shadowed stones cried out my grandmama's name. A lady fixing flowers, eyes flashing at me, they were keen. She weaves lines through the grave rows, old time falling by. Preach to the Union black and white, for they shut down the Jasper streets, Corona mine. Clouds spread across the land, led me down to the lock 17-9. Black warriors sang its song, an eagle opened up like a black bound.